Please be seated. As Christians, I suspect that we do not always know how to relate to the Ten Commandments. In fact, it's more than I suspect that. I've heard some of you say that. So maybe we think about the Ten Commandments as a kind of moral framework or an ethical system of behavior. Maybe we think that certain commandments are more important than others. I think we understand the importance of "you shall not murder." But I wonder, do we think that keeping the Sabbath is as important? I wonder if we think not taking the Lord's name in vain is as important as not murdering. The Book of Common Prayer treats the Ten Commandments as being something important. You notice in Lent we are beginning the liturgy by singing them. Singing the Decalogue during Lent is a centuries-old Anglican tradition, and I think it just reminds us that the Ten Commandments are important for us. Using the Decalogue during Lent, I think, can be an edifying practice. It can remind us of how we are called to live and allow us to examine the ways that we are faithful and the ways we fall short of the path of holiness to which God calls us. The Ten Commandments can reveal to us the ways we are called to repent and accept God's forgiveness. And so I think the Ten Commandments are not so much a list of moral imperatives or an ethical system as they are a call to a way of life. The Decalogue elaborates the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants. We heard that story last week in our first lesson. After God frees the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, God leads them through the Red Sea, and they begin their 40-year journey to the land of promise. And early in that wilderness journey, Moses goes up Mount Sinai, and God gives him the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Those commandments describe how the covenant between God and the people of Israel is to be ordered. It provides structure to their common life. In being bound to God by covenant, the people are actually set free to be God's people. The biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann says about the Ten Commandments, and I quote, "These commands might be taken not as a series of rules, but as a proclamation in God's own mouth of who God is and how God shall be practiced by this community of liberated slaves." Unquote. The Ten Commandments are a gift given to the people. They help form the community and help them to embrace their new identity now they are free from slavery. The commandments are a call to practice, to walking in holiness, becoming holy just as God is holy. And the commandments can be a path to the abundant life that God intends for God's people. You remember that the Ten Commandments are written on those two stone tablets. One tablet has as its focus our relationship with God. The other tablet has the focus of our relationship with our neighbors. But the two are also related. They really are not a menu to pick and choose. Well, I really like that one, but I don't need that one. They actually all are important for our life with God, for the life to which God calls us. The command to faithfully worship God leads to proper love of our neighbor. They are interconnected. Through our worship of God, the love of God fills us. The love of God flows outward from us to others. If we love God, truly love God, we cannot help but love our neighbor. Having no other gods but God alone assures us that we will not try to replace God with something else, with money or power or the quest for possessions. That we won't set up idols that draw us away from the love of God, from our worship of God. Keeping the Sabbath, which may be one that is hardest in our era, keeping the Sabbath reminds us that all of creation was made by God, belongs to God. And we are called to share in God's creative work as faithful stewards of all that God has made and pronounced good. And keeping the Sabbath is about setting aside one day for our worship of God, for rest. It rejects society's hectic pace of life, of being so busy and interpreting that as a virtuous thing, of being so busy that we don't have time for rest or worship of God. Honoring our father and our mother reminds us that we do not live unto ourselves. We do not live in isolation. This is a call to life in community, to be in loving relationships with other people. This means that how we live, that our actions affect other people. How we behave matters. How we behave is important for the well-being of the entire community. The command to not bear false witness says that the community is built up and edified by truthful speech. Words have power. Untruths can harm. Hurtful words can actually destroy the body, can work against the common good. By not coveting, we reject commodifying people and material possessions. Our society rests on everything having a monetary value. Advertising is bombarding us, preying on our desire for more things, whatever we don't have. This commandment calls us to remember to be satisfied with what God provides and to not reduce any person to a monetary value. The call not to take the Lord's name in vain invites attitudes of praise and thanksgiving for God. God's name is holy and to be respected. At the discussion group, we had quite the conversation about this and our attempts to not disrespect the name of God. It can be difficult, but it's important. How we use the name of God can reflect if we respect God. If we offer God our praise and worship as an act of thanksgiving, it can actually be an antidote to living by anger or cynicism. And so I would suggest that we ignore the Ten Commandments at our peril, and I'm not preaching brimstone and that God is going to come down and smite us, but more because the Ten Commandments call us to a life that is true, a life that is holy. They lead us into the life that God intends for us. Following them means being in right relationship with God, with our neighbor, and right relationship with creation. Rejecting the commandments is the way of death, of separation and alienation from God, from others, from creation. And while it's true the ways of the world can be attractive, maybe even seductive, their promises are fleeting, and these promises of the world do not lead to deeper, true life with God. At the heart, the commandments are about learning to trust that God is faithful. The covenant that God makes is trustworthy and true. The Ten Commandments lead us in the way of true life with God. Lent calls us to the journey of holiness. By examining the ways that we do live faithfully and the ways that we do not live as God intends, the ways that we stray from our life of holiness, from the worship of God and love of our neighbor. Life centered on love of God and our neighbor is our call, including as followers of Jesus. Jesus shows us how to live the Ten Commandments, how to love God with our whole heart and mind and soul, how to love our neighbors as ourselves. We see this throughout his life and ministry. We see it in his suffering, death, and resurrection. And so I think rather than choosing between the Ten Commandments and Jesus as revealed to us in the Gospels, I think actually they are together. They're the same thing. Jesus shows us how to live the Ten Commandments by his life and his ministry, by the way that he loves God and loves neighbor. Today's gospel can be challenging for us. Jesus has gone to the temple and he cleanses it. He drives out the animals sold for sacrifice. He overturns the tables of the people who are exchanging Roman money that has that image of the emperor and so is idolatrous, exchanging that for temple money so the temple tax can be paid. Jesus coming to the temple in this way may disturb us. He's angry. He's driving out animals. He's got a whip. He's overturning tables. But Jesus is angry because he's reacting to what is happening. He is there in the temple reacting to the oppression that he sees, of that temple tax that oppresses those who are not wealthy. Jesus is angered by the injustice of our world. And Jesus comes in trampling the status quo, rejecting the unjust ways of the world. Now, I think sometimes we may assume or hope that Jesus won't change things. We can feel resistant to change. But Jesus does call for change, particularly when there is injustice. And Jesus calls all who follow him to lives of holiness, to worshiping God, to love of neighbor, which leads to anger about injustice. As I thought about today's gospel, several questions have come to mind that I am wrestling with. One is, how is Jesus calling us to be cleansed this Lent? What needs to be driven out by Jesus from our lives? How have we faithfully followed God in the path of holiness? And how have we not? How are we being challenged by Jesus to reject things as they are and to turn to the abundant life that God offers us to change? And does the injustice that we see in the world around us provoke us to anger? Anger so that we work to actively oppose and dismantle oppression. Lent's call is to a life focused on God, on the one that we are called to love with our whole heart and mind and soul, love above all other things and other people. And loving God, we cannot but resist loving our neighbor as ourselves. This way of love rejects the false promises of the world and affirms that the promises of God are trustworthy and true. And so this Lent, and the whole of our lives, may we follow faithfully Jesus in his way of love, that way that leads us to true, abundant life, to life that is unending. Amen.